So today, Skylar preached last week, and she talked about John 15, and that was all about abiding and remaining in Jesus. And this week, I'm going to kind of bracket that, John 14 and John 16, because I think John 15 is in the middle of these things, because in 14 and 16, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. And so if you have John 15 without 14 and 16, you are kind of missing an essential component to what it means to remain and to abide. So I got a question for you before we get into the verses. When was the last time that you ever felt lost in life? When was the last time that you felt confused? When was the last time that, like, you were struggling with this relationship that was kind of throwing you into a tailspin? Or a relationship that was causing a lot of anxiety and confusion in your life? Or a situation or a life circumstance that was causing a lot of grief, a lot of confusion, a lot of anxiety, a lot of worry about life? Can you raise your hand if you've ever been in that space in life? All right, if somebody's not raising their hand next to you, just give them a nudge and be like, you're a liar. We've all been there. We've all felt that. We're probably in that situation right now to one degree or another. And this is important because this is, I think, that the situation that the disciples find themselves in. See, Jesus gathers his disciples for kind of one last Passover meal. And a couple weeks ago, we had the foot washing where Jesus knelt down and washed their feet and said, hey, this is an example for you. As I wash your feet, wash the feet of others. See, Jesus knows what's coming. Jesus knows that the next week is going to be one of the most horrific weeks that his followers, that he and his followers could go through. And so he's sitting them down, kind of giving them the last messages for what will be their journey. And we see him sit down, he washes their feet, he says, look, here's the example I'm setting for you, do this for others. Then he predicts his betrayal and he predicts Peter's denial, like, is, hey, this guy that's been following me, this guy that I've loved for years, devoted my entire life, is going to betray me. And then this other guy that, like, man, I love this guy. He's been following me. He's been close to me. He is going to deny me. And Jesus leaves them with this message. I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. This is going to be the way that everybody knows that you follow me. By loving one another. And in verse 14, Jesus is explaining, or chapter 14, Jesus starts explaining that he's going to go away. He says this in 14 verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. This is an interesting way, like a Jewish way of a kind of a speech. There's in the beginning of the speech, it's led with peace, with shalom. Shalom means peace, but it's a wholeness of peace. It's a wellness. It's I have peace, I have wellness, I have wholeness in my mind, in my body, in my spirit. So Jesus begins this, and we'll see in the end of 14, he ends with this same idea. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to this place where I am going. So Jesus is saying, look, I am going to leave. This thing we've been doing is coming to an end. It's going to change. How do you think the disciples are feeling at that moment? Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? I love this completely practical question. I'm going somewhere. You're going to be there someday. You know the way. Hey, what are you talking about? Like what? Where are you going? How are we going to know the way? Like, Jesus, what's going on? Yeah, I want to be where you are, but I'm very confused right now. Jesus answers, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Philip responds, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Just imagine what the disciples are feeling at this part of the journey. When everything they've devoted their life to over the last 3 years is going to change. Like, just imagine their faith journey through this week. We see glimpses of it here and there, but I'm sure there's a feeling of lostness, there's a feeling of confusion, there's a feeling of disillusionment. They've probably feel a feeling of betrayal in some ways. I've devoted my everything to this guy. And now he's saying he's going? I'm lost. I'm confused. What does that mean for me? If he's going to get killed, what does that mean for me? Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, the life. These are part of the I am statements that Jesus makes throughout the Gospel of John. I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the door of the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the way, the truth, the life. And then in 15, I'm the true vine. Jesus, all throughout the Gospel of John, is putting down these signposts in the ground saying, this is who I am. And I'm doing all of this so that you may believe in me. So much so that it changes your life. It changes how you live. Jump down to verse 15. In chapter 14. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus is kind of saying, like, remember back when I told you that when you love one another, like, that's how people are going to know that you're mine. Jesus is saying, if you love me, keep my commandments, obey me, be in relationship with me. Don't say you love me if you aren't seeking me out. If you aren't devoting your life to following me. Yeah, that life has a lot of ups and downs. There's a lot of hills and valleys. There's a lot of struggles and joys and triumph and pain. And there's a lot to following Jesus. But Jesus is going, don't say you're following me unless you're backing it up with your life. Just like I'm going to back up my love with my life and what I do with it. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. It's interesting because it's almost like Jesus sees this disconnect that his followers are feeling, right? Like he's explaining this and they're kind of going, I don't quite get it yet. And so he says, there's one more thing that I have to reveal to you that's going to happen that is going to be amazing. When I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. The Father will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. He says the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. Jesus starts to talk about this intimate relationship between Son, Father, and Holy Spirit, where each intimately knows each other. The Father knows, or the Son knows the Father, and the Spirit knows the Father, and only communicates what the Father is teaching and how the Father is leading. Jesus says, for he lives with you and will be in you. It's the first promise that Jesus is kind of stating here when he starts to talk about what the Holy Spirit is, who the Holy Spirit is. He says, first of all, what you need to know is the Holy Spirit is going to come when I leave, and this Holy Spirit is going to live in you. He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you will also live. On that day, you realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them loves me. So Jesus introduces or reveals this next part of the plan. Yes, I am going to leave, I am going to die, I'm going to be resurrected, and I am going to be up to heaven, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to live with you and in you. What are some of the things that Jesus describes about the Holy Spirit as he starts to reveal this to his disciples? In verse 23, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and he will come to them and make our home with them. Jesus then continues in 25. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. It will remind you of everything that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. In the midst of all this confusion, in the midst of all this anxiety, of the disciples asking the question, the person we've given our lives to, the person we've been following, the person that has been like our destination for the last 3 years just told us he's leaving us, and so we are terrified. And Jesus is going, look, don't be afraid. I'm sending you my Spirit. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. He's going to be with you. He's going to guide you. He's going to teach you. He's going to show you the way. Then he ends this little discourse in 14 the same way that he began it. Peace, shalom, I leave with you. Shalom, I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. It's interesting, this idea about peace. Because this peace that Jesus is talking about here isn't the world's peace. Like, what defines the world's idea of peace? Anytime you would ask anybody that question, it'd be the world's idea of peace is largely circumstantial. Right? Like, if I have enough money, if I have the right job, if I have the right relationships, if everything is generally going well in life, it means that I have peace or can have peace. In recent years, we've seen that even if everything that all the circumstances could be ideal and you could still be losing your mind with anxiety and worry and have no peace in your life, because a lot of it depends on what your mind is doing and what you are trying to grasp for control and how you're responding to situations that you have no control over. So the world's idea of peace is largely circumstantial. If every circumstance around you is creating the utopian space that you can have peace, then you'll have peace. But Jesus is talking about peace in the middle of this week that's coming up, where he knows everything is going to go wrong for the disciples. And yet he still says, you're going to have peace. And it's going to be my peace. Not a peace that's dependent on circumstances going the right way. Not a peace that's dependent on this relationship or that relationship, on that class or this class, on that roommate or this roommate, on that job or that income or any circumstance in life. Jesus says, my peace is going to be based on who I am. And the Holy Spirit, who is going to be with you, who's going to guide you, he's going to be in you, you in him, will teach you and remind you of who I am, so that when life is spinning out of control, Jesus says, you've got my peace. If you continue on to chapter 15, to the end of it, we'll look at a couple more verses that help us understand what Jesus is talking about when he's saying the Holy Spirit. In chapter 15, verse 26, the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father. The Spirit of truth goes out from the Father, and he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit is going to help us. It's going to comfort us. It's going to defend us. It's going to be with us, in us. It's going to teach us and show us the truth. It's going to remind us of who Jesus is when we need peace. When the world is spiraling out of control, the Holy Spirit is going to ground us in Jesus' identity. And here he says, the Holy Spirit is going to testify about me. It's going to show you who I am. This reminds me back when I was in college, when I was feeling like life was empty and essentially spiraling out of control. And I decided, hey, Jesus, I'm going to give Jesus a chance again. Funny thing to say. And my prayer predominantly became, Jesus, if you're real, show me. Well, I'd say over the next 7 months, I was shown who Jesus was in a variety of ways. And I think that was the Holy Spirit leading and guiding and teaching and revealing who Jesus is to me. Jesus says, this is the role of the Holy Spirit. And then one more, jump down, chapter 16, verse 8. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of the world now stands condemned. The Holy Spirit is going to bring about this holy conviction to the world and to its followers. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will only speak what he hears. He will only speak what the Father speaks. We see this intimate connection between Father, Son, and Spirit. We see Jesus saying, look, I'm going to send you something that's greater than I. I am going to send you the Holy Spirit that is going to be with you, guide you, teach you, correct you, testify to you. When you forget who I am, when you lose your way, the Holy Spirit is going to realign you with me. When you're lost, when you're confused, Holy Spirit is going to show you and remind you of who I am. That I am worthy for you to have faith in. The Holy Spirit's going to comfort you. It's going to defend you. There are two things that Jesus promises in these verses. You know what they are? In chapters 14 through 16, there are two things that he kind of promises. First, and that is that heaven is coming someday. Heaven comes later. That's what he begins chapter 14 with. Heaven comes later. The second thing, the Holy Spirit comes now. So often, we tend to think more about the later than the now. So often, Christians are more focused on the later than the now. Even think about most of our evangelism efforts. What are they focused on? The later, right? Better believe in Jesus or you're not going to get into heaven. Most Christians are consumed with the later over the now. And I can only imagine over this week, the disciples, is everything that they had known had been changing. They had lost the person that they've been following. Like, this was a horrendous week for them. I wonder what these words meant as Jesus died. As they were wondering what had happened, and as Jesus was resurrected and then went up to heaven. I wonder what these words and this promise of the now meant for them. Right now, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. He is with you. He will guide you when you feel lost. He'll remind you of who Jesus is. He'll give you the strength and the courage to keep living the life of faith. He's going to teach you. He's going to correct you. He's going to testify to you. He's going to bring holy conviction in you to keep you in the way of following Jesus. I don't know where you stand in your awareness of the Holy Spirit, but I invite you, If you're kind of sitting and you're going like, what is this that Jesus is talking about? I don't really understand this. Like, I know about the Father, I know about Jesus, but I've never really looked into the role of the Holy Spirit in our life. I simply would invite you to start investigating. Start reading Scripture about what the Holy Spirit is, because as Scripture continues, we are called to walk by the Spirit. We are called to be filled continuously by the Spirit. This isn't a one-time thing, but this is a daily, weekly, monthly thing. The Spirit gives you gifts and passions that you are called to exercise for the body of Jesus. And Paul says, as we grow in the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit grows our lives to look more like Jesus, there's evidence of that. And that's the fruit of the Spirit. All going back to Jesus' first point. Hey, if you love me, love others. And it's by the way that you live, by all that I just talked about, that people will see me. That last point, Jesus giving you his peace, I think that's kind of a litmus test as Jesus is talking through this. Is your life filled with peace? Is your mind filled with peace? How peaceful is your soul? How peaceful is your mind? As I think about that question, it's like a litmus test for me. Because if my answer, which it is my answer, there are times when my mind is not filled with peace. Like there are times when it's filled with worry and anxiety and questions and trying to come up with answers and trying to figure it out. And that's also, it's always like an indicator on the dashboard that I need to spend more time in and with the Holy Spirit. Do you feel that? Has that been your experience? This morning we're going to celebrate communion together. In leading into communion, I simply just want us to sit and just invite the Holy Spirit into our lives and our minds. And just sit and listen. As we take communion, it's a beautiful reminder of all that Jesus is. And it's a beautiful reminder that Jesus even sends the Holy Spirit to guide us, to testify to us, to teach us. So as we take communion this morning, we look back at Jesus' life and we look back to what he has done. We look to what he is currently doing and we look to what he will do. This morning as we go into communion, maybe you're sitting there going, man, I'm not filled with peace. There's this thing that's going on. There's a struggle. There's this relationship. There's a circumstance. There's this thing that's just like, it's tearing me up, and I'm not filled with peace. And Jamie, I don't even know really what to pray anymore because I've prayed all the prayers, and I've said all the things, and I've had all the conversations. I'm out of words. I'm just waiting. and hoping and praying and being faithful to following Jesus. And as we take the bread and the cup as a celebration, as a reminder to who Jesus is, I want to read Romans 8 for you. Romans 8, 26, Paul says this, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance to the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for good of those who love him. This morning as we celebrate communion, I just want you to just sit. You are welcome to the table, to the bread and the cup. Walk down the middle aisle, walk, grab a piece of bread and a cup, and return back to your seats. And when you return back to your seats, I invite you just to sit and listen. And if you want to pray just a simple prayer of, come, Holy Spirit. Paul says, for I receive what has been passed on to me. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. When he'd given thanks, he broke it. He said, this is my body, for which is for you. Do this in remembrance of who I am. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink it, you remember me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord until he returns. You are welcome to the table to remember who Jesus is and to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Come to the table when you are ready. So Skylar last week talked about John 15. John chapter 14 and 16 is kind of what we're going to explore today, and specifically kind of the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. See, John chapter 15 is great. It's about remaining and abiding, but you kind of miss out on some things if you don't also focus on chapters 14 and 16. They kind of bracket chapter 15, and I think they play an essential role in what it means to abide and remain. If you just take chapter 15 without the brackets around it, you kind of lose the meaning and the point of a lot of it. So, John chapter 14. Jesus is, this is all part of a night where Jesus is with his disciples, and it's kind of their last night together, and Jesus knows what's about to happen. He knows what's about to come. He knows it's about to be the most horrific week for he and his followers. So they begin with the Passover meal. And Jesus leads them through that. And then Jesus washes their feet and says, hey, look, this is what it means to follow me. Like, follow my example. I'm washing your feet, so you're supposed to go out and wash others' feet. And then at the end of that, part of that conversation, he gives them a new commandment. And he says, look, this is the new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you're my disciples, by how you love one another. Jesus says, as you follow my example, as you love one another, as you care for one another, the world is going to look at that and go, man, that's a glimpse of who God is. That's a glimpse of what it looks like to follow Jesus. It's why it's so destructive when Christians are bashing each other and fighting and all this stuff, is it's not only damaging to our own relationship, but it's also damaging to our witness to the world. Jesus is talking and he predicts that he's going to be betrayed. And then he predicts that another disciple that he loves is going to deny him. Like, you just imagine that. You're sitting there, you've poured your life into these 12 human beings, which you've been with them all day, every day, for the most part. And you've poured into them, you've led them, they've been following you, they've devoted everything to that. You just imagine sitting there going, yep, you're going to betray me. That's how I'm going to end up dying. And you, who are like, oh, I love you so much, Jesus, you're amazing, I'm the rock star, you're going to deny me. Jesus is talking to them. He's saying, you're going to betray me, you're going to deny me, I'm going to go away. And the disciples don't quite understand what that means, what that is about. I have a question for you. When was the last time that you felt lost in life? When was the last time you felt confused? When was the last time that you felt so hurt and betrayed that you didn't know how to come back from that? When was the last time that you felt worried and anxious about the future? Like, when was the last time that you're in this relationship and it's causing you to kind of spiral because you want so badly for this relationship to be good, but it's such a struggle and you don't know how to operate in that? When was the last time you asked, where are you, God? If you were real, why would this be happening? There's all sorts of circumstances in life that can get us to this place, isn't there? If you've ever felt lost and confused in life, raise your hand, please. All right. That's a majority of the people in the room. Just so you know, you're in good company. We've all been there or are all there. And I ask those questions because I think this is where the disciples were at, right? Like, just imagine. They're in this room with Jesus. He's telling him he's going to go away. Things are going to end. There's all this worry and confusion about what's going to happen. And they're probably feeling a little lost, a little confused, maybe a little disillusioned. I've devoted my last 3 years to following this guy all over the countryside. I've seen amazing things. I've done like what John wants us to do, is believe fully so that our lives are transformed. Like, I've done it. And now you're telling me you're going to go away? What? Like, what does that mean for me? I imagine as they're hearing these messages, there's just confusion, anxiousness, worry, all sorts of things happening. So Jesus begins chapter 14. This is a common, like, Jewish speech. It begins with peace and it ends with peace. Jesus starts, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. In chapter 14, verse 1, you believe in God, believe it also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, and you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Did anybody catch that? Because the disciples didn't, right? Thomas goes, "Hey, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" I love it, so practical. "Hey, Jesus, I don't really know what you just said. I know you're going somewhere. I want to be there too. How do I get there?" Again, lost in confusion. You're starting to see the anxiety that's building up. Jesus says, "I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him." Jesus has these "I am" statements throughout the Gospel of John. "I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the door of the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the way, the truth, the life." And then in chapter 15, "I am the vine." There's all these statements all throughout the book of John in which he is putting down, we've been talking about these signposts, to show people who he is. Almost every chapter, "Here's something to give you a glimpse of who I am. Here's the next thing. Here's the next thing. Here's the next thing." Then Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." And then Jesus begins what is some of his final teachings. Imagine him sitting in this room with the people that he loves, the people that are going to carry on the mission, and these are some of his final things to say to them, to prepare them for the journey. Jump down to 14, verse 15. Jesus begins this section, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." So in kind of this next revealing, the next kind of stage of this, Jesus is saying, "I am going to leave, but as I leave, it's going to be great for you because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, the advocate, to defend you, to comfort you, to show you who I am." He says, "The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." So this is the first part of Jesus kind of explaining what's going to happen next. "I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you to be your defender, to be your comforter. He's going to be with you. He's going to guide you. He's going to be inside of you, living in you." Jesus then continues, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and he will come to them and make our home with them." It's interesting. Jesus kind of has this phrasing. If you love me, then your life needs to reflect it. If you love me, if you claim to follow me, then your life needs to be a direct reflection of that. Now, does that mean your life needs to be perfect? No. Absolutely not. Have you not read anything in any of the Gospels? It means that if you are following Jesus, Jesus is saying your life needs to reflect it. This is evidence that you are following me. And Jesus says, if you follow me, you will receive, you will be sent the Holy Spirit. Jesus continues in his teaching in verse 26, "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So we're starting to get an image, a picture of what this Holy Spirit looks like. It's going to be our help. It's going to be within us. It's going to be with us. It's going to guide us and lead us to the truth. The Holy Spirit is going to teach us. The Holy Spirit is going to remind us of who Jesus is. And then Jesus says this very powerful line, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you." What did Jesus start this little message with? Don't let your hearts be troubled. Things are going to get really bad over the next week. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Peace I leave you. Peace I give you. How do we define peace in this world? Well, like how do we define it? When are you at peace in your mind and in your spirit? Usually when circumstances are going the right direction, right? It's usually when you have enough. It's usually when your relationships are all in working order and they're all going fairly well. It's usually when you're content and happy at your job, when you're receiving the amount of money that you think you should receive. Like all these things are circumstantial, and they're usually things that the world says you need to have in order to have peace. And those things are helpful to have peace, right? But if there's anything the last couple years have taught us, even when all those things are happening, our minds can still be a mess. Our minds can still be a place where worry and anxiety thrives. Where comparison fuels us to not be satisfied and content with our current circumstances in life. The world says when everything is going right and working well, you'll have peace. What does Jesus say? Jesus says, look, things are about to get really bad. Like disciples, your entire life is about to fall apart. The person that you're following is going to be killed. You're going to worry and be anxious whether you're going to be killed too. Your entire life, this great thing that we've had going on for the 3 years is going to change dramatically. Peace. I give you peace. This word for peace is shalom, and it's this peace that is all-encompassing. It's wholeness, it's wellness, spiritually, mentally, physically. And Jesus says, I give you this peace in the midst of all the circumstances going the wrong way. I give you this peace, and this is peace because it's not dependent on life circumstances, it's dependent on who I am. And when you forget, the Holy Spirit is there to remind you of who I am. Almost like Jesus saying, you're going to forget, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit to remind you and teach you and guide you and be in you to help keep you close to me. Turn with me to the end of 15 as we continue to explore kind of this role of the Holy Spirit. In 15, verse 26, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. The Holy Spirit will reveal who Jesus is to you. When I was in college, I became a Christian my sophomore year. My freshman year, I was walking around and life was fairly empty to me. I did not have peace. I was chasing after all these things for meaning and purpose, and it just wasn't working. And so I heard about Jesus from long ago when I was in middle school, and so I said, Jesus, if you're real, show me. Over the next 7 months, all these things happened to connect with me and to reveal that Jesus was real. I stood back at the end of those 7 months and I went, man, way too many things happened just to be a coincidence. That's the Holy Spirit working inside, testifying, revealing, guiding, showing us who Jesus is. And that's just not a to get you to believe in Jesus thing. It's a this is how you live life with Jesus thing. This is how you abide. This is how you remain. Getting into chapter 16, Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment, about sin because people do not believe in me, about righteousness because I'm going to the Father where you can no longer see me, and about judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Jesus then says, I have so much more to say to you, more than you can even hear. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what the Father tells him to. So Jesus, in 14 and 16, we start to get a glimpse, a view of what the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit's job and role is in our life. It's to comfort us. It's to defend us. It's to tell us and be our truth. It's to teach us, testify to us, remind us of who Jesus is, especially in times when we are anxious and worried and feel like the wheels are coming off. The Holy Spirit's role is to judge and convict. The role of the Holy Spirit is to help the world see Jesus and see their own sin. And there's this intimate connection between Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There's an interesting thing in these chapters, because what are the two things that Jesus promises in these two chapters? First one is heaven, right? The beginning of chapter 14, I'm going to a place. You're going to be there someday too when you follow me. Jesus promises heaven, but he promises heaven later. Heaven comes later. The Holy Spirit comes now. It's so interesting, because we tend to know more and focus more on the later than we do the now, right? Like, think about like Christian evangelism. What's the point of trying to evangelize people to know Jesus? The later, right? You want to go to heaven, right? So you need to believe in Jesus. That's all focusing on the later. Most of what Christians know about is of the later. How do we grow in our knowledge of the now? Which is the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you. If you feel like you need to grow in knowledge of the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you to just start reading scripture about it. Start learning about the role and action of the Holy Spirit in our life. Because we are called to walk in the Spirit, by the Spirit. We are called to be filled by the Spirit. And that's not like a one-time thing. That's a everyday thing, every week thing, every month thing. We are called to walk by and be filled by the Spirit. There's gifts that are given to us by the Spirit to make the body of Christ better and more healthy. there's also fruit of the Spirit, which Paul goes, look, when you're following Jesus, this fruit is going to develop in your life, so your life starts to look like Jesus. So that's the evidence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we are growing in these things. I want to go back to that kind of a question, because I think it's kind of the litmus test of maybe where you're at in the Spirit's activity in your life. Do you have peace in your life? Is your mind, is your soul a peaceful place? I think it's a litmus test for us. And I think it's like the signal on the dashboard of a car when something's not quite right in the car. When I don't have peace in my life, for the million reasons why that can happen, when I'm struggling with a relationship and I'm trying to figure out, how do I get this to work? What's going on here? How do I get this new job? How do I get out of this situation? How do I heal this relationship? There's a million things that could cause non-peace in our life. I don't say that any better. Could disrupt our peace in our life. But for me, it's like the litmus test of where I'm at with Jesus and where I'm at in my growth in the Holy Spirit. Is my mind, is my soul filled with peace? The peace that Jesus brings. The peace that comes with knowing that he's God and I'm not. The peace with knowing that God's got me. Even when Jesus departed, he's sending the Holy Spirit to be with us, in us, guide us, teach us, lead us, empower us every single day. So how peaceful is your soul? How peaceful is your mind? If you're anything like me, there's about 3 to 4 things in life right now that are causing my mind to race and causing my soul to become anxious. And so this is an invitation, right? To sit with the Holy Spirit. To be comforted. To be defended. To know that the Holy Spirit is working. To be taught, to be corrected. So we're going to take communion today. And I want this to be an opportunity that we just sit with the Holy Spirit and pray. And this might be foreign to you, and that's okay. But as we lean into communion, communion is reminding us of who Jesus is, what he's done for us, what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. It's beautiful to celebrate communion with these chapters, because it's recognizing who Jesus is and recognizing that he sent the Holy Spirit for us, to minister to us. As we lead into communion, communion is open for anyone to partake of. It's the bread and the cup. So when we begin, you're welcome to come down the center aisle, grab a piece of bread and a cup, and take it back to your seat. And we're going to spend some time just sitting with Jesus, listening. I invite you, even when you're sitting there with the bread and the cup, just sit there and just come, Holy Spirit. Romans 8:28, I want to read for you real quick. Because maybe you're sitting there going, man, life is off the rails right now. I'm so anxious. I'm so worried. I don't know the answers. This is causing my life to be a complete mess, and I'm filled with so many questions. Like, I resonate with the disciples being disillusioned and confused and having a ton of questions. I resonate with that because I don't know the answers. Maybe you're sitting there this morning and go, yeah, Jamie, praying sounds nice, but I don't know what to pray anymore. I've exhausted all the words. I'm at the end. I don't know. I can't put any more words together. And if you're in that place this morning, I want you to hear these words from Paul. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance to the will of God, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Whether that's later or now. So if you don't have words this morning, that's fine. Just sit with the bread and the cup and say nothing and listen. Or if you need something to say, just a simple, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Paul says, I receive what I pass down. Or I pass down what I received. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, this is my blood, a sign of the new covenant. Every time you drink it, remember me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. So let's sit this morning, let's listen, let's proclaim what Jesus has done, what Jesus is doing, and what Jesus will do. You are welcome to come to the table when you are ready.